This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest. I'm T. Xiao Yik with Juliet Jacobs. And earlier in our first story, we talked about how parents are coping at home during this pandemic with their kids. Specifically, we were looking at how they're coping with homeschooling their kids. And by the way, parents who are struggling, we know a lot of you are, you're struggling with just managing your children's, attention, routines, all of that that we're very familiar with. We'll be doing an open clinic with Dr. Rajini Sarvanan, London consultant developmental pediatrician, next Thursday on the 23rd of April at 11 a.m. So that's the show where you can call or text in with all of your questions and anything that you want to ask Dr. Rajini. That's 23rd April, next Thursday at 11 a.m. And now moving on to our second story.
Yes, and we're talking a lot about how people are coping with their feelings and their emotions during this MCO. So over on Twitter, we're asking you, is the movement control order making you feel bad about yourself? You know, is it creating more self-criticism or negative thoughts? So far, about 53, almost 54% of you have said yes, whereas about 46% of you have said no. So, you know, share your thoughts with us. You know, what's happening? Why? How are you feeling? Why are you feeling the way that you're feeling? Tweet us at BFM Radio, or you can send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899. And, you know, it's been 28, sometimes I think incredibly long days since the movement control order came into effect. It is, of course, an integral part of the battle against the spread of the COVID-19 virus. And as of now, the MCO, which was initially supposed to end on the 31st of March, has already seen two extensions. And we've all been told to just, you know, stay at home as much as possible.
Yeah, but this seemingly simple act of staying at home can have an adverse effect on our mental health. So, of course, we've accepted that we have to give up things like going to the gym, watching movies, going on a dinner date. But at the same time, there's a lot more that we're sacrificing because the MCO is being very strictly enforced. So we also cannot go out to meet our friends and family on just normal social interactions. Right. And these are, while they are important and necessary measures by the government, the problem is that we are inherently social creatures, aren't we? We're not meant to be cooped up and in isolation for too long. So we've already discussed the repercussions of staying at home on our mental health in past shows on the Daily Digest and Health and Living episodes. But today we'd like to zoom in on one aspect in particular, which is the inner critic.
Ah, so what exactly is this inner critic? Well, according to Conquer Your Critical Inner Voice, which is a book by Robert and Lisa Firestone and Joyce Catlett, the inner critic is the voice in our head, you know, that whispers and whines. Mm. It edits our thoughts and controls our behavior and inhibits our actions.
So, you know, it's that voice in the head that calls you fat when you look in the mirror first thing in the morning, or that buzzing sound that keeps comparing you to the people around you, asking you why you're not doing enough, even if you're plate is already full. Mm. Or you know how sometimes when you have a conversation with someone, you may have said something wrong, but despite it being actually a very minor infraction, and perhaps the person that you were talking to didn't even notice, but there'll be this voice in your head that keeps nagging you for hours later. Oh, I said something wrong, didn't I? She's definitely going to hate me. Oh, I should have phrased it better. Things like that.
A vicious little voice, isn't it? And you know, this inner critic, if left untamed, can have severe adverse effects. In an article on Psychology Today, psychologist Leon Seltzer says that this inner critic can become so bad that you can't ever stop cracking the whip on yourself for fear that if you don't, the disapproval and rejection that seems imminent will become your reality. That's frightening.
Yes, and so what happens is that you'll never be satisfied with any of your accomplishments. When you do something well, you won't jump for joy, but merely breathe a sigh of relief where, you know, you feel like you've escaped from being criticized or censored. But this relief only lasts for a short while. Expectations present themselves every day when you're at work, at school, even when you're exercising, playing a sport, or especially when you're raising a kid.
Yes.
And when you're constantly criticizing yourself, it becomes the perfect setup for anxiety and depression.
So now we are questioning, what does all of this have to do with the movement control order? Well, we came across a surprising statistic. A study done by psychologists at Virginia and Harvard, both those universities, discovered that many people would rather give themselves an electric shock than be alone with their thoughts for 15 minutes. And during the study, 2/3 of men and 1/4 of women opted to press a button to deliver a painful jolt during a 15-minute spell of solitude.
So the reasons for this varies. The study states that it could be that a lot of people simply do not like to be left alone to think. Their mind tends to wander, perhaps boredom can kick in too. But some psychiatrists like Kamran Ahmed, who writes for The Guardian, suspects that one reason why a lot of people do not like being left alone with their thoughts is because of their inner critic.
Yeah, and this is something a lot of people, particularly the ones who are living alone, might be struggling with over the past few weeks. So to kind of get a deeper understanding of this inner critic, you know, what isolation can do to it and ways we can overcome the issue, I got in touch with Associate Professor Dr. Amir Siddiq bin Amir Nordin, a consultant psychiatrist at University Malaya Medical Centre. I started by asking Dr. Amir if this inner critic is inherent in all of us, and if so, how do we even develop that in the first place?
So first of all, that terminology, inner critic, is really, it's a popular terminology, but it's not really used in the term of psychology and psychiatry. But negative thoughts is present. So at the moment, in terms of the negative thoughts, the idea comes under cognitive behavior therapy models. And what the assumption is that these individuals will have these thoughts because of certain core beliefs. And those core beliefs are actually from young. So they're actually developed from childhood experiences. And then eventually they're sort of populated with living experiences. And then eventually these individuals will have a certain way of thinking. So for some people, that way of thinking, which is normally automatic, it just suddenly comes, it's not prompted, it just comes out of the blue, could be both positive and negative. And for some of them, the negative part becomes more predominant, and that can be, for some people, termed as the inner critic. Now, if you're looking at it from a different point of view, which is the psychodynamic model or the Freudian model, we've got these three concepts, right? Id, ego, and superego. So the negative thoughts could be linked to the terminology of superego, which is sort of the moral police, you know? That's why when we talk about the sort of the popular terminology of inner critic, it's always something that, you know, you do something and then there's a comment by yourself about yourself. So superego, in terms of Freudian, does that. But if you're looking at it from the psychology point of view or the cognitive behavior point of view, that thought, the automatic thought, is the you know, is actually developed from the core beliefs that are there from childhood.
Okay. And, you know, this inner critic, you know, if we can call it that, it sometimes can it be amplified, you know, when we're in isolation, such as now, you know, when everyone's at home during the movement control order?
Definitely, because often when we're looking at it from the, again, from that point of view of psychology, as I mentioned just now, it's often linked with the theory of the cognitive behavioral model theory. So the idea of these negative automatic thoughts being there is because of distress, often, yeah?
Okay.
And as we are going through the MCO, as we've shared, or you might have heard, that two of the most common symptoms are going to be depression and anxiety, yeah? The symptom itself. And at the same time, that if these individuals, if we allow this MCO to prolong, for some individuals, they will develop frank depression and anxiety disorder. So these particular disorders and symptoms are actually often related to the development of these negative automatic thoughts because of the situation that we are currently in. And therefore, if you're in the situation, for some of us, it will definitely amplify those ways of thinking because of the living arrangement, maybe the situation that they're in, and also, of course, the environment support that they might be getting, which is not present at that point in time.
Okay, and you know, another thing that's happening during this movement control order, you know, there's like a push almost, you know, for us to be active and productive during these times. You know, we see so many people on social media, for example, posting videos of themselves working out, baking, cooking, dancing, you know, just being so productive. Can this make us, or this inner critic, as we call it, you know, can it make it grow louder if we aren't productive as this? You know, will our inner critic start questioning us even more so in these situations?
Yes, definitely, because as we've discussed just now, often when we talk about the inner critic, it's often going to be related to a negative way of thinking. And when you're looking at social media, where people are always putting out the positive parts of people, when you're already developing problems with the way that you're thinking, definitely it would amplify that thought to be even more negative, because it's almost like it feeds on itself in a little way. So yes, if you're, you know, and that's why we say that you've got to take breaks on social media. It's not just because, because, you know, your eyes might be damaged, but actually your mind actually starts to change, yeah, based on some of the comments that are present in there, that sort of, for some of them who are already feeling quite depressed or quite negative, it just amplifies it because you're unable to fulfill whatever activity that's actually there, and therefore it feeds on you a little bit. And this is where I said that it goes back to cognitive behavior theory, because in a way what's happening right now is the way that you're thinking affects the way that you're actually your activities, yeah, the way that you're doing stuff, and then of course eventually it just affects the way that you feel.
Okay, so what are some of the signs that we should be aware of, you know, when this inner critic in us is growing louder and maybe becoming a bit uncontrollable?
Well, some of the more common if you want to say, symptoms that might actually happen is the way that you're actually thinking is going to be more negative. These thoughts are going to be literally thoughts that are always bad. They're sort of self-sabotaging. They're definitely going to be biased towards a negative point of view. You might actually feel quite crappy because of it. So these are just some of the sort of the symptoms that happen. And the idea is also the way that you're thinking, right? So some individuals, the way that they're thinking is going to be in, you know, an all or nothing sort of point of view. So if you're feeling that, you know, you're reading something and straight away you have an assumption that or a thought that is very negative and it makes you feel negative, that's probably one sign. If you're starting to generalize the situation, yeah, because, you know, again, everybody is different, but if you start to generalize the situation towards you and it makes you feel negative, that's another sign. So these are just some of the various signs and symptoms that one might get when one is in that situation of the inner critic being more negative.
Okay, and let's say we are living alone and this inner critic is, you know, maybe getting the better of us. What are some ways that we can cope with this? Are there ways to silence this inner critic altogether?
Well, people have thought about silencing, but I think it goes back again to just understanding a little bit about why you might be feeling this way. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, as a result of that, act upon those particular thoughts, because definitely those thoughts will be causing you to feel a certain way, and therefore we can actually do something about it. So some people have talked about, for example, identifying what is the situation that causes individuals to feel a certain way, yeah? Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, once you have that feeling, then you think about why it's actually, you know, what was the thought that actually caused you to feel that certain way? Mm-hmm. And then once you've actually identified that particular thought, then you rate the feeling that you've got at that point of time, and then eventually the consequences. So what you do then is then you change the way that you're actually thinking at that point of time, because once you've changed the way that you think, often it will change the way that you feel, and then eventually you'll be able to identify that particular inner critic and the situation that it's in. So, you know, there's lots of models or ways to do it, but the way I like to do it is making almost like a table. So, you know, the situation, and then the next one will be the thought that, or the thoughts. And again, the thoughts go back to what, you know, what are the negative ways of thinking that one has. One of the ways to actually assist you in helping with identifying your thoughts and eventually isolating them is actually understanding, number one, what are the types of thinking that you've got that might be negative, and there's about 12 of them. Mm-hmm. Secondly is actually identifying the situation that these thoughts come, and then linking that particular thought with the situation, and then rating how you feel about those particular situations and thoughts. Mm-hmm. And then of course rating or actually consequences of those thoughts. And once you're able to do that, then you can make another or a subtable below that with a different way of thinking and seeing how that makes you feel. So that's one way of actually isolating. Some people have thought about something called thought stopping, where, again, once you've identified the way of thinking that is negative, you actually put a stop to it. And there are lots of other ways of doing it. Some people reporting, like, for example, using a rubber band. You know, if you have that thought, then you snap yourself, and then you know, in a way you're telling yourself, stop, you know, stop. Okay. So it's sort of like, that's why it's called stop, stop, right? So these are some ways that might be able to help. The third one that's often quite common and easy to do is actually mental reframing. Similarly, once you've identified the thought, and in a way you've managed to stop that thought, then you change that thought with something else, and therefore you might feel a bit better.
Okay, so I mean, that's a way also, I suppose, of using it maybe to turn it maybe into positive motivation as well?
Definitely. I mean, these are the ways that we use in therapy, and I'm just sort of summarizing it quite quickly, but this is the way that we actually use it in therapy to assist people who have quite a bit of negative thoughts. We try to, in a way, change the way that they think. So then, of course, the way that they think will affect the way that they act, and the way that they act will eventually affect the way that they feel. Mm-hmm. So by just doing a little bit of, you know, in a way, tinkling in the way that they think, we are able to then assist people to feel a little bit better for some of them.
Okay, and I think we all need some ways to feel better during these times. Any last message you'd like to leave us with?
Well, the last message is, again, first of all, as you rightly mentioned, if you feel that you're on social media or online for quite some time, to take some time off. And I just wanted to remind people that we advocate for physical distancing. But physical distancing is not emotional distancing. So again, make that phone call to a friend and get connected while you're in this MCO.
Wise words there. You know, physical distancing is not emotional distancing. Make that phone call to a friend and get connected while you're in this MCO. So that was Associate Professor Dr. Amir Siddiq bin Amir Nordin, a consultant psychiatrist at University of Malaya Medical Center. So just quickly looking to our social media posts, we did ask you over on Twitter whether the movement control order is making you feel bad about yourself. You know, whether it's you've seen an increase in self-criticism or negative thoughts. And so far, about 53.5% of you have said yes, while another 46.5% of you have said no. Benji on Twitter has said that he or she is not really angry, but angry at those who still lepa outside.
Right. Transferring the emotions, perhaps.
That's right. And over on WhatsApp, we have a message. This person says, I've always been traveling every month throughout my career, working for an MNC the past 20 years. It's not easy for me to adapt to staying at home for such a long time. But ever since the lockdown, running businesses from home is not easy, but we need to accept the changes and at times, you know, that feeling of being bored. So during this period, I try to keep myself occupied all the time apart from working. I started to be more creative in cooking. I set up my own mini gym for workouts. I started gardening, you know, keeping up things in the house, washing cars, catching up with movies such on Netflix or YouTube, or just video calls with my brothers. And he said that all of these activities help. So
keeping busy, I suppose, is a method a mechanism, I think, that a lot of people do use. But I guess it's important to also note that while you're keeping busy, are there other signs that you could be, your emotions are still sort of like feeling the pressure? I know for me, it happened for a few nights before I realized that it was happening. I have been starting to have insomnia.
Oh,
and sometimes simple things trigger bad dreams for me. And so I think the underlying stress and the anxieties do get to you, and they manifest in these very subtle ways.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, as Dr. Amir said, you just have to make a chart, I suppose, you know, put it all down.
That was very useful.
Yeah, and then kind of see why it's happening and, you know, what triggers it and find ways to deal with it, I guess.
Because I think the problem is that many of us don't try to process our emotions. Yeah. We just try to bury them. We work through it, just trying to stay afloat, you know, get your work done, get the kids sorted.
Yeah.
But there is a danger in... it's funny because we're talking about not letting the inner voice, that inner critic, get too loud as
get
well.
Get the better of you.
But at the same time, I feel like we do suppress our emotions as well.
Yeah, definitely. And sometimes maybe the inner critic has a point as well. So I was thinking that, you know, yeah, maybe there are some things that... I guess,
but
you know,
how do you, and what you asked, Dr. Amir, how do you turn it into something positive?
Exactly,
then?
Right? You know, rather than just stressing about it or making yourself feel worse, how do you actually come up with some solutions that make you feel better, I suppose? Ultimately, I guess that's what we want. We want to feel better. We want to feel like we're in control of things.
Of something,
at least.
Yeah.
At least
there are
right.
some things we can't control, but there are little things that if we can change, we can feel good about doing that.
Yeah, and you know, I guess if we can manage little things here and there, that ultimately would make you feel better you know, in general.
Yes. But, you know, this is a difficult time for a lot of people. If you feel that you're getting down, for one thing, pick up the phone and call one of your friends or family members. Just have that chat. Take a break from social media, for one. I know that can really leave you feeling very overwhelmed. And if you need someone anonymous to talk to, there's always Befrienders KL. You can reach them on Skype at BEF KL Skype 1, or you can call their helpline at 03-7627-2929. For this period, call charges do apply. That's all the time we have for this discussion, but please do continue to share your thoughts. Tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or also on our Facebook page, BFM The Bigger Picture. If you missed any part of our show today, you can download the podcast on bfm.my/dailydigest on the BFM app or on Spotify. Coming up after the 3 p.m. news is a repeat of Ringgit and Cents. In this episode, Roshan Karnason from the Morning Run team will be asking whether this is a good time to start a home business. We leave you now with Simon and Garfunkel with something a little bit more upbeat, the 59th Street Bridge song, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.